Janae and Golden Jr., the podcast.
Me, we, well, this is she, and today, Junior, it's all good. We stay winning, and sometimes Junior gets caught slipping. I do too, what? But it's all good. Janae and Golden Jr. here on ESPN Radio, streaming live on ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, gather yourself. I know you thought you heard some shade, but it's all love, ELE energy right here. In about 10 minutes, we will get to Junior's expertise with college football, especially with his draft notes that have been amazing. I forgot what positions we've done already. We did receivers.
We've already done wide receivers. We have already done running backs and linebackers. So we tried to pair them up together, running backs and linebackers, wide receivers, and now we've got defensive backs today before we get to the hog mollies next week on the offensive and defensive line.
Yes, that is in 10 minutes. We will also this hour get to chat with ESPN NFL reporter Diana Russini. So excited for all the tea she has within the National Football League. But more importantly, I look forward to her take on mac and cheese and mashed potatoes. This is going to be really interesting.
I can't believe this is a thing we have to seriously argue. In the year 2021 of our Lord, the fact that we're comparing one thing that's inherently well-flavored and another thing that needs a fair amount of assistance is baffling to me.
I mean, you should always be eating well-flavored mashed potatoes and mac and cheese, but I digress. So in about 10 minutes, we'll get to your expertise. And right now, let's stick with mine, because finally, can we do the sound? Because this is a big deal. Anthony Davis is back for the Lakers. It has been 9 weeks, and I'm so excited. First of all, Junior, shout out to the Lakers for holding it down without both of their stars. I think they've been like their number one. You know, I'm a nerd, so I always go to like defensive rating, offensive rating, because it tells you the real aspects of what's working for teams. And so they've been number one in the defensive rating without both of their stars, which shows you that this is a really good Laker defense. But now they get their 7-foot cheat code back. I always say that Anthony Davis is like the post version of KD. And, like, you know, guard version is obviously KD, so it's, like, kind of cool when you see those guys with different positions. But he's back tonight, and obviously the Lakers, they were 17-6 with Anthony Davis in the lineup, 18-17 without him. They did flounder for a little bit, but they sort of course-corrected. Junior, I mean, at this state, we're seeing a Lakers team that gets their star back, and I think LeBron James is soon thereafter because, you know, that ankle sprain is not so bad, you know, in the big scheme of things based on, like, they're going to be conservative. And then you look at Brooklyn, who's dealing with health, and now they have a situation again with James Harden. Does this make you, and you talk about the pendulums a lot, does this make your pendulum swing toward the Lakers with their championship odds?
I think so. I think timing of when your injuries occur has a lot to do with what we can try and forecast for all of this. And I saw something really interesting because, Chinee, one of my biggest questions about this Brooklyn team in general, before even all the injuries started, is how are they going to negotiate the clutch moments, the end of game scenarios, the spots where, all right, you've got to make a pressing decision with the game on the line, because as great as all those guys are, that just requires a level of understanding of each other that only comes with time. And so I looked, and ESPN Stats and Info put together some great numbers about the Lakers in clutch time at the end of games when it's within a certain score. The most used clutch time lineup for the Lakers obviously involves LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And then the rest of it is KCP, Alex Caruso, and Dennis Schroeder. That group in 17 minutes of clutch time through this season is plus 31. That's the second best in the NBA in clutch time of any lineup, second only to the Sixers lineup of Simmons, Seth Curry, Green, Harris, and Embiid, who are plus 33
Cliff
in 18 minutes.
Happy.
He's got to be thrilled right now, as he should be. But all that is to say, Janae, when they get back on the court, this team and largely these groups have been together. LeBron James and Anthony Davis have championship medal together. And in these moments, this group not only knows how to operate together, but knows how to operate together well enough to where I can excuse the time away and the time apart for them a little more than I can for Brooklyn.
Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Chinee Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. And, I mean, you're a guy that's glass half empty. I'm a gal that's glass half full, but that was a lot of love. I mean, oftentimes you're a little bit like chaos, I don't know, you know, like that's sort of the vibe you have, or maybe it's just me that balances each other out. But that was a really glowing sort of way to describe how you feel with the Lakers and how things have sort of come through as of late. Now, Anthony Davis actually spoke on this issue, basically saying, hey, look, You heard that I'm 100%, but really, he said in his Wednesday presser, I'm super hyped to be returning.
You know, I wanted to make sure that I was coming back 100%, because it wouldn't be fair to myself, it wouldn't be fair to my team. Like I said, I feel 100% healthy. I feel great, you know, especially the rest of these games leading to the playoffs. A lot of guys around the league aren't healthy. A lot of teams aren't healthy. And for us to, for the most part, be healthy, I'm getting back 100% healthy. Well, I am 100% healthy. And then we got Bron, who's coming back as well, who's going to be 100% healthy. So, no, I think we put ourselves in a good position.
Junior, today, Gold Junior here on ESPN Radio. That was Anthony Davis of the Lakers. Excited that he'll make his return tonight versus the Mavericks. But, Junior, how many times did he say 100%? He's like, y'all going to hear this. Back. I'm back. And my guy, he's going to be back too, 100%.
Let me make it abundantly clear to you guys. We have had a long break during this season. And for this team, that was along with the Miami Heat, who dealt with Jimmy Butler injuries. The last one standing inside the bubble before one of the quickest turnarounds we've seen that would lead to, in some instances, an uptick in injuries, we believe. We're not going to have the numbers to bear that out for a while. But anecdotally, it feels true. Janae, I'm curious from your perspective on this as someone who plays in the post, is a part of that defensive tissue in that way. Anthony Davis is an unbelievable, you call him a cheat code of a defender. He's certainly going to change the dynamic of a defense when he's on it because he allows you to do different things. But I wonder, the fact that this group has been so defensively competent with him off the court, they've been able to maintain that defensive rating. Does that help take some of the pressure off him on that end of the court? So maybe you can use more of the focus on the offensive end. Does it change the way that maybe the Lakers will use AD, especially in the interim?
Yeah, there's less pressure. That's one of the reasons why they got Andre Drummond, to provide less pressure. Also, knowing that, all right, before, I'm going to try to be a superhero defensively. I'm going to be the guy that's going to go up there, grab the rebounds, block the shots, outlet it, and then go and then try to get my points. Now he knows he has teammates that can get stops on the perimeter. He has someone that, you know, in full capacity can hold it down as an anchor on the block. This is a great scenario for him to be returning, and the only better part would be having LeBron James there, but it's honestly even better that LeBron James comes later. You know what that means? He's going to be ready for the playoffs. He's going to be 100% for the playoffs.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Janae, the other thing that we always hear down the stretch is trying to figure out the rotations. That's the one thing the Lakers won't have nearly as much time with. On the other side, we've certainly got Brooklyn in a different boat. Are you in the same camp as me? Brooklyn going to have a harder time getting this right down the stretch, having it ready to go for the postseason? Or do the parts and the way they work together, do the strengths of Kyrie and Kevin Durant complement each other enough to overcome that?
Harder path for Brooklyn with the rotations. When you look at the Lakers, they just won a championship. They swapped out pieces. They got younger. Montrezl Harrell, Dennis Schroeder and company. Now Andre Drummond. But they still have that, like, oh, we won a championship playing this way. We know exactly when we're up against these top teams. This is the defensive assignment we need. This is the way we're going to attack on offense. Brooklyn's figuring that out on the fly with, and you bring up this point all the time, a first-year head coach. And so it's going to be more difficult, even though you have these stars, to be able to be in that timeout when you're up three or down three and say, this is where the play that's going to work, or you're going to have to get a stop. This is the scheme that's going to work. They're going to be figuring that out on the go in the playoffs when all of their stars are out there. Not going to be easy. And I think this is a good reminder, Junior, for people to know, even though their stars are super talented and they make it look easy, it's largely not. It takes schemes, especially at this level in the NBA and especially in the playoffs when the game slows down.
Yeah, I think we always kind of fall into this pattern of coaching doesn't matter until it does. Mm-hmm. We've looked at this with the Golden State Warriors for a while where we just figured they're all so good. We can be on autopilot. Steve Kerr doesn't have to do anything.
Then they lose. It's like, what's up with the coach?
And that's the first place we look. And so Steve Nash, I'm sure, knew this when he signed up, but it might show up a bit sooner than expected because we all figure once James Harden showed up, this was going to be a cakewalk through the rest of the season. But injury had other plans. So that's going to be something exciting to watch. Anthony Davis makes his return against the Dallas Mavericks tonight for the Los Angeles Lakers. But coming up next, let's take a look at the stars tomorrow. We got draft notes. We've got defensive backs. And we're going to give you the diamond in the rough that you need to check out later on in this draft. That's coming up next. Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
So we were just in my bag with the NBA. So excited for Anthony Davis to return to the court. Now it's time to head to Juniors. It's Jhené Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Jhené Ogbonmokey and Mike Golding Jr., the number one Taylor Swift fan in the building. Now, in about 10 minutes, we'll hang out with Diana Russini, our ESPN NFL reporter. We'll ask her about the Eagles. Probably not ask her about paper, scissors, and rock, but we'll just leave that to yesterday. But Junior, like, I did not know who was singing that song that was coming from break, and then I started seeing you like mouth it, and I assumed it was Taylor Swift.
Yeah, no, pretty safe assumption there. And let me tell you what, Jhené, there's still time for you to get on the bandwagon right now. She's releasing the recut Taylor's version of all her old albums, getting them back under her name. We got some hidden songs. That was Bye Bye Baby. For my money, the best of the songs from the vault this time around for Taylor Swift. So, Jhené, there's plenty of room for you over here. The water's warm.
Look, I love Taylor. I've always wanted to be a part of her girl gang out there in like Rhode Island or something like that. When I was playing for Connecticut, I was like, I have to meet her, I'm sure. Like, because a lot of her friends are tall. I was like, I can fit in the mold. And that would mean you could be a friend too, Junior.
That is true. You know what? That's the ironic part of all this is I love Taylor Swift, but it is much more likely that Taylor would want to know and be friends with Jhené for all of the accolade reasons and the fact that she's 5'11". She's tall. She fits right in. It's a perfect marriage.
Yes.
So, Jhené, we need you to make this happen for me.
I will do it for us, just for our show, just for you, okay? But speaking of accolades, because you always say mine and I always get embarrassed, but you're a former offensive lineman, an academic All-American. Put respect on Mike Golic Jr.'s name. Clearly a radio host here at ESPN Radio. We see you on television all the time, highly questionable. And my favorite thing that you do, because you bring so much energy to your analysis of college football. So we've got more of Mike Golic Jr., your draft notes. Are you ready, friend?
We are. It's time, Cliff. Let's kick it open.
Leading up until the draft, we will give you a position breakdown, but you will put your flavor on it, right, Junior?
Absolutely. Looking forward to this. We'll give you what I think is the best of each position group and someone you can watch in a later round.
Junior's draft notes.
All right, Jhené, we got draft notes coming up, and this time we're heading to the defensive backfield here. Everybody's eligible for the party. We're going to give you our top four. This includes safeties. This is the top four DBs on Mel Kiper Jr.'s big board. We start off with number four.
Number four.
Number four on the list, Trayvon Mullrick out of TCU. Safety, the only safety in this bunch here. Probably the only safety with first-round pedigree, Jhené. No one overly shocked here. Gary Patterson and that TCU Horned Frogs defense have been putting out quality pros from the secondary for quite a while in here. And so I'd imagine he's going to be the first safety name on the board, and I don't think there's going to be many people to dispute that.
Look, as someone who grew up in Texas, one thing we know about TCU, they got some athletes, so I love it here. What's your word for him?
Word for this one is easy. Horned. The Horned Frogs. We've got to have some representation in here Horned that's
Frogs.
Outside of just Andy Dalton heading into this upcoming NFL season. We know there's certainly more than that, but Jhené, as someone who's gotten a chance to head down there to that area, it's a fun place to see a football game, and that defense is a very special thing. Been that way for about the last 15 years. Number three.
Number three.
Number three, we go to J.C. Horn out of South Carolina. Now, this name might sound familiar to you. He's the son of former Pro Bowl wide receiver Joe Horn, 12 seasons in the NFL, 7 with the Saints. Recently been training in a group with guys like Jalen Ramsey, A.J. Terrell, Javon Holland from Oregon, former Georgia cornerback Mark Webb. So a lot of quality in this group, Jhené. Big, long limbs, strong guy at the point of attack here. You've seen him battle in a lot of these great SEC matchups. We know the caliber of offensive skill players there. So that's number three on the list.
What's the word?
Lymph right there. You saw it all on display. And not for nothing, the forearm sleeves are lymph.
Lymph?
Lymph, as opposed to strength. We've got lymph here. Number two. Don't overthink it. Number two.
Number two.
Pat Surtain II out of Alabama. If you remember last time on Dragon Ball Z when we were doing mock drafts, Ian Fitzsimmons representing the Dallas Cowboys took Pat Surtain II out of Alabama. How about this, Jhené? In his 3 seasons at Alabama, since 2018, he's allowing opposing passers to complete just 7 of 36 pass attempts, traveling more than 20 yards down the field. That's second in his class right now.
Wow.
Unbelievable at a place that knows a little thing about defensive back play.
Can we do an actual word here?
The actual word here would be gold, because I think he's got value that you can trust, Jhené. Alabama defensive backs are buying a blue chip stock. Outside of interior defensive linemen, I'm not sure there's a position group I trust more coming from a Nick Saban coach team.
I love that goal. That was your best one so far.
Number one.
Number one.
Number one. This distinction belongs to Caleb Farley, Virginia Tech cornerback. Number one on Mel Kiper's big board. Virginia Tech, he only allowed one touchdown as the targeted defender in coverage in 2019 while allowing an opposing QBR of 10. That was the fifth best in college football that season. And, Janae, we know the ACC, we tend to have that thinking dominated by Clemson, by what they put on display there. But this Blacksburg defense has been something people can trust for a while, and even post-Bud Foster there. Caleb Farley, speed to burn at this position.
So what's the word, burners?
Oh, yeah, no, it's burn. You got to let it burn. Usher
got
style
it.
On this. This is going to be the sell if you're looking for a win at this spot. So feel good about that?
I feel really good about that. Your words are actually pretty good this time.
I felt good about a couple of them here. I'm trying to do this on the fly. Keep it spontaneous. Keep it fresh in the romance around here. So let's give you my favorite of the group and then one to watch for in the upcoming draft. So out of this group, Janae, he's ranked number two on Mel Kiper's list, but number one in my heart. I'm going Pat Surtain out of Alabama. The more and more you go back and watch, and knowing, again, the competition these Alabama defensive backs are getting in practice, all these number one wideouts that we're talking about, Jalen Waddle, Devonta Smith, these have been the guys that Patrick Surtain's been going against for the last few years. And you could throw Jerry Jeudy and company back into that, too, in addition to getting out on the field and just having such an understanding. Chiney, defensive backs are like small offensive linemen. It involves a lot of communication, a lot of being on the same page. And in Alabama secondary, you can watch this happen. You can see these guys communicating in real time in addition to being able to run cover and turn his hips with the best of them. So big on Patrick Surtain is number one coming off the board. The name to watch, and this is going to be a guy who has all the athletic traits and just doesn't have the school you'd think of. If you were watching college football year, you got used to the we'll play him anytime, any place, anywhere, University of Central Arkansas Bears. Robert Rochelle, cornerback out of Central Arkansas, Chine, ran a 4.39 at his pro day, was a Senior Bowl invite, and was a part of a team that got to play a lot of games. We know the FCS playing their football in the spring. Central Arkansas managed to go out and get 9 games played. Robert Rochelle played in 7 of those. In 2019, he led their conference with 5 interceptions and 18 pass breakups. He is long, strong, and down to get the friction on, Chine. And I think this is going to be a guy that's going to round out someone's secondary. Came to college as a running back and a wide receiver, and I think has plenty of time transitioning with all that athleticism to make it happen.
Do you know what you just said? Don't even say it again.
I promise I won't.
That was fabulous. I love your sleepers, but the winner today was Lymph. J.C. Horn. Lymph.
Lymph, strength, and action. He's overall athletes scrimp. Here. This NFL scrimp. Draft preview is brought to you by Sherwin-Williams. Bring your team colors home with Sherwin-Williams. But coming up next, we got to get some inside NFL intel, including why Tom Brady, after an offseason of endearing himself to us like he's never done before, is back to some hating. We'll get some good old-fashioned numbers-related hate from Tom Brady next here after this word from Indeed.
Clearly, Mike Golick Jr. is a connoisseur of words and elite meat shields, and of course college football, but one of our favorite words is clearly connoisseur of, how about this time, case management or guru of global sales. Whoever you're looking to hire, you can find them at Indeed. All you have to do is sponsor a job post and Indeed's Instant Match searches millions of resumes in their database and immediately delivers a list of quality candidates whose resume fits your job description. You can add an Indeed skills test so candidates can show you their skills that go beyond the resume. No wonder Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Just visit Indeed.com/credit. Now, the Eagles, with an open competition at quarterback. Is this a good look or not? We'll talk to our guest about that. That's next on Chiney and Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus.
Chiney and Golick Jr., the podcast.
Well, the countdown is on to the 2021 NFL Draft.
Join me, Elle Duncan, Kevin DeGondi. Full coverage of the first 3 rounds on ESPN Radio.
Coverage begins Thursday, April 29th, 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
So we had a very, very big debate here today on Chiney and Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN+. So we need you to weigh in, 888-729-3776. Chinee Ogumike and Mike Golic Jr., we are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We had a very big debate about who is more likely to win a championship as presently constructed, or the way that, you know, the NBA is trending with health, the Lakers or the Nets. So call in. And we also had a debate about mac and cheese or mashed potatoes. So if you have a take on that, 888-729-3776, Lakers Nets, or is mac and cheese better than mashed potatoes? Is it vice versa? So call us and we'll holler with you in a little bit. But right now, let's head to the Goodyear Hotline because our friend is there, our own ESPN's NFL reporter, Diana Russini, reporter extraordinaire, joining us here on ESPN Radio. And Diana, we had so much fun yesterday when I beat Mike Golic Jr. in paper, scissors, rock, first and foremost. But this was all stemmed through the Eagles and what we heard from their head coach, Nick Sirianni, saying that there's an open competition at quarterback. How do you feel about that, not saying that Jalen Hurts is the established starter?
Well, the rock, paper, scissors situation, I actually feel bad for Coach, because this is why every head coach is so private and paranoid about sharing things that go on behind closed doors, because look what we've done with this. I mean, this has been going on for almost a full 24 hours. We're mocking that situation there. And it was just obviously something he was doing with his guys. I don't really play that game often. I mean, I think past the age of 5, it's kind of weird. But hey, like, that's just what they're doing, and it is what it is. But let's talk really probably the bigger story there, obviously, being the quarterback position. And guys, I did some digging on it, because when I saw the headline, it kind of jarred me a little bit. Like, wait, I know for a fact that they made that trade or in the draft because of Jalen. And I know they want him as the starting quarterback. Why not just name him? That's strange to me. This is what the owner wants. So when I made some calls on it, the way it was explained to me is, in the spirit of competition, this is a new young head coach. He's setting a new culture and wants to make every player here feel and be equal. So it's nobody's job is secure. You have to compete for it. So I'm sort of pouring a little water, I think, on the fire that it may feel or look like. But that's the reality. So I in Philly, in the facility, they know Jalen is the starting quarterback. But the language and the communication right now has to just be, well, we want it to be an open competition, but they know who it is.
You know what? And that's a fair point. It's a reminder that we're not always owed a full explanation on the outside of what's going on the inside. That's really the important part of this situation. But Diana, we also don't know what's going on the inside for the Patriots right now. I saw you quote tweeting Stephon Gilmore, who was sending out some pretty cryptic messages here. But as you look at the New England Patriots and one of their star defensive players on the roster right now, what do you think the future looks like for Gilmore in New England?
Yeah, Mike, it's so interesting, because it's such a tiny storyline heading into the draft, but it could wind up being a big one. So Stephon Gilmore is on a 5-year deal with the New England Patriots. He's on his final year. They reworked the numbers last year, meaning his salary was about $13 million last year. Okay, so then this year it's only about $7 million with no guarantees. That's like horribly underpaying him. He's not going to play on that. I know that for a fact. That's too low of a number. This guy was 2019 Defensive Player of the Year. So right now it's a bit of a waiting game as he's trying to see what New England is going to do. Are they going to figure out a way to bring him back? You look at how much cap space they have. They have about $16 million. Okay, so they've got $60 million and 10 draft picks that are going to have to get paid deals. So if they move up, they're going to run out of money. They're not going to be able to pay Gilmore. Unless, you know, the other option would be if Gilmore's part of a package that they move to trade. They use him as an asset, saying, you know, this is, maybe there's a quarterback they see there that a team would be willing to trade with the Patriots so they can move up, and Gilmore would be part of that trade. So these are all the things that I know are on the table for New England. I know Gilmore wants to, you know, he wants to stay in New England. But the fact that his deal isn't done, and here we are a week out from the draft, I would not be surprised at all. It wouldn't be a shocking revelation if something went down closer to the draft night that would involve Gilmore.
Diana, thank you so much for your insight. But you left us on a cliffhanger last time we talked to you. We have two questions for you. First and foremost, did you ever resolve the kids running above you in your house? Like, did you ever figure out that situation?
Yes, and it's terrible. Oh, and I'm so glad I didn't try to get them evicted. I never really was going to be that aggressive, but it turns out it's a little girl and her little brother who live there, and they're a really nice family, and they just didn't know. And their playroom just happened to be right above the area that I'm working for television. So in the end, the lesson learned is, even though we don't want to talk to our neighbors, sometimes you should probably just say hello, because then you'll learn a little bit more about them. And it's gotten so much better. So all is good in my neighborhood.
Diana, I'm so happy you went outside your comfort zone on that, because last time we talked to you, we thought the last thing in the world that you were going to do is actually walk up there and introduce yourself here. So this feels like a big growth mindset for all of us coming out of the pandemic. So now that we have got that nailed down, Diana, we have to ask you an important question around here, because I'm trying to learn a lot about my coworkers. I asked what I thought was a really simple and easy food-related question of this take that I saw on the internet, that mac and cheese is hands down better than mashed potatoes. I don't feel like this is something revelatory. I don't feel like this is a shocking take. But, Diana, what side of this are you on, mac and cheese or mashed potatoes?
I heard you guys talking about that coming into this chat here, and I started to think about it in my head, like, what do I even like better? And, I think the best way you can test yourself is just if you have the two dishes right in front of you, what are you going for first and need the most of? And depending on the type of mac and cheese, and for me, it would have to just be the Kraft box, the crappy one that we all ate in college, that's like $1.99. If it's that, I'm going for that all day long, every day of the week, over mashed potatoes. But if it's somebody's homemade macaroni and cheese, then I'd go mashed potatoes. So it really depends on the type. But I don't think there's any clear winner here. So that is, I'm in your corner being that surprised that it's that clear.
Diana, what I appreciate most about you and why I know that we're dear friends is because you said, give me the blue box, give me the stuff straight out there with the fake cheese and all that. That's how I know you're one of the realest ones around
here. Yes, the
realest.
Diana,
you are the absolute best. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon, friend, okay?
I've grown in some areas, but I have not grown in others. So I'm glad you guys accept me, and this love will forever be unconditional.
Absolutely. Yes. Life is about balance, and that's what we get every time we talk to our ESPN NFL reporter, Diana Russini, with us on the Goodyear Hotline. That's the kind of balance and growth we're looking for. Kind of like what we heard from Trevor Lawrence. You don't have to have a chip on your shoulder. You don't have to be out here to prove everyone wrong to be successful. Unless you're one particular coach. What if I told you one man was actually starving himself to show how hungry he was for victory? We'll tell you who that is next. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Usually I love having the keys to our car, the Ferrari that is Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. But right here, right now, it's big halftime energy. If you know us, you know what that means. Now, obviously, Junior, we have had some debates, some good ones and some really interesting ones. So what did you discover from one of the funniest coaches out there?
Yeah, so this has gotten pretty wild. And 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll take your mashed potato and mac and cheese related calls here as we spark that debate up in just a minute. But, Janae, I have seen this sound now all over the place, and I want to make sure everyone who is possibly within earshot is hearing it, because I don't know if you guys knew this or not, Portland State named themselves a new head basketball coach, and in the same time gave us a new hero. Jace Coburn has been named the new head basketball coach. He is now the 14th head coach in the 60-year history of Portland State. And if you thought Man Campbell with the Detroit Lions was going to get you fired up and ready to run through a wall, fear not, Jace Coburn is here as well. Listen to the Portland State head coach describing his mindset in his opening press conference.
The other thing is I'm hungry and passionate. I don't eat breakfast in the morning so I can come to work hungry. So when I get to lunch, I'm hungry. And that's just the kind of person I am. I know my 2003 Chevy Tahoe's got a lot of play this week so far, but, like, it doesn't have AC, and it doesn't have heat, And the reason I do that is so I can practice my mental toughness during the winter when it's cold, and I can practice my mental toughness during the summer when it's hot. That's the type of person I am.
Today, Snaps. If you walk into the locker room, I can say, Snaps are old boy. You walk into the locker room tomorrow and your head coach is getting down like that. What are you bracing for?
You know what's so weird? For athletes, we kind of rock with that energy. Like, coach is a little crazy, but I kind of mess with that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no, but take this breakfast bar. Like, I got you.
Actually,
when I'm in the car, like, can we crank up the AC? But I rock with you. I mess with you.
I appreciate that, coach. I'd imagine as a basketball coach today, you're going to hear on the line way more than anyone would like to under this coach.
Oh, gosh. Oh, no. Stop saying that. Like, yeah. I'm just, yeah.
I was going to say, I could see the trauma happening there, but you seem like the type, and I appreciate it. He is excited. He is getting his opportunity to finally be a head basketball coach, Janae. But this guy snacks in bed so he can wake up with a chip on his shoulder. Like, he is going to sling us the finest coaching cliches planet Earth has to offer, and I cannot wait.
That should be one of our honorary teams, Portland State, for the next season, okay?
Honestly, Shannon, we got to get him on the show. We got to try and find a way to get this guy on the show and talk. I need to talk to Jace Coburn and figure out what makes this guy tick. I want to know what he does on his off days. I want to know what kind of music he listens to pregame, because this guy's got unbelievably palpable juice and we're ready for it here.
When he does eat his lunch, he probably eats mac and cheese, though. Not mashed potatoes, mac and cheese.
Oh, guys, breaking news here, by the way. In light of Jace Coburn being announced as a friend of the program, Cliff, our esteemed board op and producer, has announced he's entering the transfer portal.
Like, I'm literally, after I see that presser, I'm going right in his office. And I'm going right to my JUCO. I'll see you on the other side next year.
Wow. You're not going to stick it out with us, Cliff? Be a part
he
of this
He's sticking out with the Eagles. You think he's rolling with you?
It's a fair point.
Good boy. Consistency.
I'm good, love. Enjoy.
All right. Well, you know what? Listen, that's fine. We'll be over here on this side. Chips firmly planted on our shoulder, ready to go here regardless of the temperature. That's impressive for a guy that plays a sport that's indoors in an air-conditioned environment, by the
way.
That
is so funny.
That's next level. All right, Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agwemeke. So if that doesn't fire you up, then maybe what's gotten everyone else fired up today will, Janae, because I read a tweet earlier asking a simple question, posed very eloquently. Macaroni and cheese, greater than sign, mashed potatoes. I thought this was a no-brainer. I thought this was a slam dunk. And yet I'm getting text tweets like this from John M. Staley that says, man, Mike Golic Jr., I like mashed potatoes, but I'm even taking Kraft mac and cheese over them. Mac and cheese can be an elite and at times featured entree, not just a side. Now, Lance G. tweets in and says it's got to be the good southern baked mac and cheese, not the box stuff, which a little bit too high and mighty for my taste. Let's go to Steve in Virginia and find out what he thinks. Steve, you're on Janae Golic Jr. here. Where do you sit in this debate, Steve?
Well, I like the homemade mac and cheese, the baked mac and cheese, the southern style. But I do like mashed potatoes, but I like the mashed potatoes that you can eat with a spoon. They aren't going to get stiff on you. As my grandmother used to put in all the cream and the butter, she would have me come out and just say, hey, beat the hell out of these potatoes. That's when they became good. You still add some gravy. But mac and cheese has got to top that. If you're going to a family reunion, a big smorgasbord dinner, and you had a choice of something that could eat by itself, you say you had a holiday dinner and you wanted to go to your in-laws for a late brunch, but then grandma wanted you to come over for an early afternoon dinner, and you got there and you said, I'm not really that hungry, but your mom and dad gave you a look that said, hey, you better eat something from grandma. Mm-hmm. So I'll just have a little bit. You go and you grab the mac and cheese. You don't go get a little bit of mashed potatoes. You go get the mac and cheese.
There's the answer.
Yes. Steve, we
yes,
appreciate
Steve,
the call.
Thank you for painting the picture.
Beat the hell out of those mashed potatoes. Go Dukes and D's.
Yes, Steve, we appreciate you.
That was incredible. I am going to start. Listen, I didn't know this statement before. I've never heard anyone say this before. Beat the hell out of those
mashed potatoes. I want some of Steve's grandma's mashed potatoes. Honestly.
I was
going
to say, that's the real sleeper in this. Steve's grandma sounds like a real one.
She probably put her foot in it, the mashed potatoes.
I was going to say, Steve's grandma doesn't even know what that means, and she's putting her foot in it. She is in no ways new to this, but entirely too true to this. All right. Whew.
Thanks, Steve.
Hot and bother. All right, we appreciate that. 888-SAY-ESPN if you've got strong mac and cheese or mashed potato feeling. But coming up next, Kevin Durant got flamed for having the wrong answer to his top five teammates. Who are Chinee's top five teammates?
Oh.
Wrong answers only next.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.